Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there. I'm Michael.
I'm Jake.
And this is the Imposter Syndrome Podcast. Halloween spooktacular. Week 3.
Yes.
You know what's scary?
What's scary?
Saxophone solos.
Yeah, right? No, scary. Playing the same riff.
This guy's just going ham. All right.
Seriously. How you doing there, bud?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing good. It is daytime, which is really setting the horror
mood. Yeah, right. Normally we record at night, but you know, once in a blue moon, we do have a day episode. And
yeah,
as you guys know, it never goes well overall.
You know what I need on the soundboard? I need like the sound of like a chimpanzee going ape shit.
Oh, so we'll be the Joe Rogan podcast now?
No. Does he have that?
Yeah, it's like, wah! There's some yeah, like, that's way better. I suck. Like, that's way better.
Whenever like we start going off the rails, I'd be like, all right.
That's like our warning sign, yeah. our safety.
Just stop listening for like 5 minutes and we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back. We had the pleasure of speaking to our buddy Nick last week.
Yes. It was a pretty awesome podcast. It was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think so too. I really just enjoyed just talking and being there and learning. Like, there is a bunch of stuff about certain movies that I liked that I didn't know. Like Midsommar had the previous like 60s iteration or like inspiration, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was something that was like brand spanking new, but that was done like decades ago. So it's like crazy. It's just things that you find out.
And it was nice that it went off without a hitch, because it's always that fear of like, oh, I hope like everyone's not awkward because they don't know each other.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, I know you guys are buds, but I didn't really know him at all.
Yeah.
And like, I guess like it was also like our first test interviewing,
yeah,
relatively speaking, or like having somebody else on the podcast.
Right.
I think we did a good job. We didn't interrupt him. Or at least we I was like making a conscious effort of like letting him speak and like letting him get his mind out there and stuff. So I think each of us had like things to say for different parts. I like the way it also that we kind of just went in a circle.
Yeah,
for movies.
Round table.
Yeah, just to kind of make that a little bit, I guess, more cohesive and have a plan. Instead of just running through, okay, Mike's movies and Nick's movies and my movies.
That's why I kind of spread out, because I was like, they're going to be forever.
And also we got like different timelines around the same. Like, he had a lot of older films, I had a lot of newer films, and you had films kind of in the middle. So it kind of worked out that way.
All right, yeah. But today we're not talking about films.
No, today we're going to talk about horror.
Anime and manga. Mostly manga, though.
Mostly manga, censorship in anime is a thing.
Yeah.
They can't really get to the nitty-gritty of some of the mangas.
Yeah, it's not as scary when there's a big old censor bar or a fog shadow over what's happening.
Yeah, seriously. Or this is like their hand is not supposed to be there, but it's just black.
Or if you're like the Junji Ito collection, you're just garbage.
Yeah, seriously. But speaking of Junji Ito, why don't we start with my mans?
Yeah, so when we made the list for what we're going to talk about today, it's very hard to not just like have an entire episode just dedicated to Junji Ito,
because
he has so many stories and all of them are pretty much bangers.
Also, it's like he's the probably most known, like, I don't know, most horror artist, I guess, if you want to call it that, in anime and manga.
He's the boy.
I mean, anytime that you see a spiral weird being, just know that it was inspired by Junji Ito.
He's literally, Jujutsu Kaisen literally made a reference to Junji Ito.
Yeah.
And they were like literally, because like they had, did you read Uzumaki?
I didn't. I haven't had the chance.
Okay. Did you remember the presentation I did?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So there's that one part near the end where like the father dies and like, what happened to the father? It's like, oh, he was so obsessed with spirals that like he forced himself into a tub,
yeah,
like a circular tub, and made himself into a spiral. And literally, Geto's power,
yeah,
is literally Uzumaki, and it's literally you see the father in the tub, yeah, and you're like what?
I know, right? Isn't that cool?
So yeah, Junji Ito has not only been a prolific author, but he's definitely had an influence on horror manga within.
Oh, like 100%. Like just the detail that he goes into.
Oh my god,
is like insane. It's just crazy.
He's like. We talk about like Kentaro Miura and stuff, a Berserk, of how much detail goes in that. And he's basically right up there with like, there's so much like tiny, tiny detail, and it's all black and white. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like conveys so much Christmas and like so much
life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like the black and white adds to the horror element. Yeah. I think like if it was in color, it wouldn't be as jarring.
Yeah, no, black and white definitely.
Because that's like the thing, right? Like a lot of his stories and a lot of his art is just very jarring.
Here's the thing with Junji Ito, what's really good. Because like we've talked about Shintaro Kago, right? On mm-hmm. the art episode where yeah. he's kind of like Junji Ito with drawing creepy stuff. But like it just seems like the creepy stuff is where it stops.
Yeah.
But like with Junji Ito, it's like you have like the body horror creepy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also like this weird ethereal beauty to some things.
Yeah, like the format in which they're placed and everything. Like you think like, is it like the theory behind the art is what's the beautiful side of it, you think?
No, I mean like even just like.
Just aesthetically?
So like you have like some of the characters, there's just like a grace or like a. And like they're unnaturally pretty.
Yeah.
And it's very jarring compared to like, you know, the horrors that come within the manga.
Yeah.
And like, and they're not like so pretty where it's like, it doesn't fit. It's pretty, but there's still like a eeriness to it.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I mean, for me, it's like when I look at his works, it's just, the combination of everything, because it's just the undertones are very, like, kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
It's always, like, these people who are kind of sick in the head, you know, or have some form of, you know, defilement or you know, just something, that, like, that seems very off-putting about that individual.
Well, what Junji Ito does, I think, there's two major factors, I think, what really gets his art, like, strikes fear into people.
Sure.
Is there's two things he plays with a lot. One is that whatever is affecting the person, is like having to do with their own body sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or it's so unknown and you can't do anything against it that the whole situation is so helpless.
I see what you're saying. So it's like, it's some, yeah. Cause like a lot of the times it's either their bodies being molded or affected, like you mentioned, or it's like outer circumstances that are out of their control and they just have to kind of walk through it.
And a good thing is because there's like larger volumes he has, like Uzumaki and Tomie are big ones,
mm-hmm.
but then there's like short stories. And then like by the end, there's like events that just are not explained. Like you have no explanation of like why these things happened. And
yeah.
Kind of like, and that's more unsettling because it's just like,
You don't get a sense of closure,
right?
Or like understanding. You're like you, because most of the time when you have like, sometimes you have complex stories that their intention is to lose you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because then it'll pay off in the end,
right?
So then you kind of you're like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm sticking through it to see if it makes sense in the end, right? How many times have you heard that, right?
Yeah.
So when you don't get that sense of security that you even understand, you know, mm-hmm. what's happening, it leads you to like kind of feel weird, like okay, like either what was the point or like, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That type of thing. And it's interesting how that affects us that way.
Yeah. So we have, I only have a couple of his stories to talk about today.
Yeah, sure.
Again, we could dedicate a whole podcast just to his different stories.
Also, like, we had a really long podcast last time.
Yeah.
So we want to give ourselves and also the audience a little bit of a break today.
Yeah.
You know, keep it simple.
So first off, we're going to go with probably one of his most famous ones is Uzumaki, which means spiral. Right. The story is that there's this kind of like town by the sea sort of thing, pretty small. And there is this girl and her boyfriend. And recently the boyfriend's father has been starting to obsess with spiral shapes and stuff. And that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And the story just unravels of more and more things just happening of like different spiral theme phenomenon start happening. People start becoming obsessed with it and like
a disease almost.
Yeah. And it's almost this whole town becomes kind of consumed with spirals and it's a wild ride. Like it gets crazy and it is like scary in the sense of like, it's just a shape, right? It's just the spiral shape.
Yeah.
And kind of representative of the spiral, like spiraling down. It's like
It has a lot of underlying undertones, you know, like
it can,
at least the way I interpret just that, you know, off alone, like it could be like, hey, like we focus too much on one thing, you know, or if one person likes something, it spreads like a virus, you know, like we're like mainstream media, like everyone's obsessed with something, you know?
Yeah.
Or it could be something that's like obsessed with materialism and things like that too. It has like a lot of undertones you can take from it.
Yeah. And like by the end, like the whole town is just stuck and like consumed by the spiral. And it's really freaky watching this evolve. And like, again, there's just things that are just not explained.
Like why?
Like why, why is this happening? And like,
is it really even happening? That's another thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is happening. Like,
I think so.
It's not like it was a dream because like by the end, no one's alive.
Okay.
Like the whole town gets consumed by the spiral. But it is one hell of an experience. And like, I think it's kind of like the must read if you want to get into the horror works of Junji Ito.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get in the horror works at all of just manga or anime in general, Junji Ito is where you should start.
Because one of the other things that is really big with what makes Junji Ito's work so scary is that he's kind of mastered the technique called the page turn, right?
Okay.
Where essentially you have a scene where like suspense is building up and stuff. And he saves the reveal for when you turn the page.
When you flip the page over.
Right. So like the scene with the father in the tub, right? That's a page turn of like you turn the page and it's a 2-page panel of the
like spread.
Yeah. Of like seeing the body. And he does that a lot. And it's so effective because it's almost like a jump scare. Almost.
Yeah. It's like, I guess like it's emulating it through paper or like a cliffhanger. You
right.
Know, like kind
yeah.
Of, yeah.
Yeah. But no, Uzumaki is a good one. Another one that's really, I think it's probably a little bit more scary, in my opinion. Well, actually, you have this one up. Let's talk about this one first.
Okay, sure.
The Enigma of Amagara Fault. It's a shorter one.
Okay.
The gist of this story is that this earthquake happens and it like half of a mound kind of like cracks open.
Mm-hmm.
And what's revealed is that there's these kind of human-shaped holes embedded into the mountain. And, like, you have archaeologists and stuff, like, studying it. It's like, that's a little bit weird, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, people will come to go see it, and some guy is like, this is my hole. This is my hole. And it's like, what are you talking about? It's like, no, it's like, it's my perfect shape and stuff. And he goes in. He slides himself into the hole, and he, like, starts traveling down the tunnel.
Yeah.
And you don't see him again.
Okay.
So now people start getting this pull to find their holes and enter the mountain. And it's kind of the story of like, I don't know if it's obsession or like you have this certain like urge, you know, like it's very much it's this idea that's nagging in your head of like, you have a hole somewhere for you.
It's almost like, okay, like everyone has a purpose and it's like that need to find fulfillment, maybe.
Kind of.
Right. Yeah. Like to feel important almost, or like you're special. Like, you know, it's like kind of like an innate like human trait, no?
Yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Rough part is that the hole does lead somewhere.
Just not good.
It is not good. It starts out as kind of like a T-pose body,
mm-hmm.
like a human body. And then like, as it goes further, deeper and deeper in, it starts morphing and stretching out. So the human body, whoever's in there, starts morphing and stretching out.
Oof.
So like by the end, you go on the other side of the tunnel and people are like, I hear this noise like going down, and you see like a body like slowly making its way. You're like, oh, that's rough. Yeah.
That's what you're talking about right here, right? Something like
yeah, that guy's getting warped. And,
oof.
Yeah, and then that's the end result.
Oof.
Yeah, just stretched.
Oof. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. It's slowly coming this way.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, though, yeah, this... This one's a scary one. Hanging balloons is... That actually got me of like, this is a creepy ass. So, gist is some girl kills herself.
Okay.
Right. And it's like a big thing, like a big story. Like, oh man, who knows why she did this?
Yeah.
And like her boyfriend's like, oh, he's kind of like depressed and stuff. And this other girl is kind of like investigating because they're like friends. And you see this big floating head of the other girl who committed suicide come to him. And then a big version of his head floats in with a noose and it snags him and he dies. Yeah. And suddenly you have this epidemic of, there's a floating head for somebody everywhere. And they're trying to find you, specific, like whoever they're corresponding to.
Yeah.
And hang them.
So question.
Yeah.
Just because I'm trying to follow. So the heads don't have, like, because I just saw a panel of a girl holding it.
No, that's not in the mod.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there is no.
So they just float on their own volition.
Yeah, they are sentient.
Oh, that's freaking crazy. That is creepy as hell.
And you cannot kill them. Like, if you shoot them, the wound corresponds to your own body.
So they are you, essentially.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So then, like, by the... And they're smart, too. They, like, try luring people out of their homes and
stuff. Yeah, because they can't get them in the house, right? But they have to leave the house at some point.
Yeah, and you can't, like, cheat. Like, the father of the girl, like, tried, like, having an umbrella so they can...
I was just thinking that.
And it, like... restricted the umbrella and him into a bloody mess.
So just don't go outside.
Yeah, at the end, it's like the girl's just alone in the house because all the family members are missing and or dead.
Yeah.
And all the balloons just chilling outside, like calling for her and stuff. And the last page ends with like, you think the brother made it home, and like she opens the window and you see his mangled body with his balloon. And she's looking out and you see her balloon above her. And that's how it ends.
Oh, she's looking out the window?
Yeah.
Oh, it tricked her, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
And it's like, it was one of those things of like, it's so...
That's eerie.
It's a helpless situation. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know.
It's the end. Yeah. You know, it's the end. Yeah. Like, why? Like, what are they? What is the purpose? Like, why are they doing this? None of that, huh? But I guess that's like, doesn't make it a bad story for the context of what it is. It's just like, ugh, you know, like, yeah. And I think that's the intention, you know, for sure.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for something, like maybe
for something. Yeah, right. It's a metaphor for something. True. Slurping it out over there.
Sorry. But let's get to one of my favorite stories of his.
Sure.
Tomi.
Tomi.
Tomi. Tomi's the perfect version of when I was talking about of ethereal beauty.
Yeah.
Because she is like a pretty girl, right? Mm-hmm. And like unnaturally pretty. And everyone is kind of obsessed with her.
Okay.
So obsessed, in fact, that men and stuff are compulsed to rip her into pieces.
Like kill her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. It's very clear early on that Tomie is not human, whatever she is.
Okay.
So what happens is it's like an anthology series of you're kind of following different scenarios.
Where she's encountered people.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing, and like they always have the same thing of like people are obsessed with her and try killing her and tearing her into pieces. Each piece of her becomes a new Tomie.
So she does get cut up then?
Yes.
Okay.
She does die and stuff, but each new piece becomes a new version of her. And they spread around.
Okay, so now it's like a hive mind type of
thing. Yes.
Wow.
And
you have this book, don't you?
I do. Okay. Yeah, it's really good. It's like, because like you have like that one, because you see you have those pictures of like, you have a normal face and then like a split face.
Yeah.
So the story of that is this one artist becomes enraptured with her. And he's trying to draw her perfectly. And it's like, not quite right. It's like, why can't I get this perfect? And he's like obsessed. And eventually he draws like the two-faced version. And that is the correct version because that's what she actually is. She's a monster.
Okay. So that's why he felt like, does he know this or is it just intuition? No,
like he does it intentionally and he's kind of going crazy. So
okay.
He's like, I did it.
Yeah.
And then he like kills himself or tries to kill her. Yeah.
That's nice. You know, overall.
The also thing is that Tomie eats people.
Okay.
Like she consumes the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's that one side of the horror of characters. Like there's something weird about the girl, but I don't know what.
Yeah. It's like an off-putting thing.
Yeah. And then there's the other horror of, what was it? One of the stories was the hikers and like they get lost and they find a Tomie version and they try rescuing her. And then the other hiker goes out and finds out that his fellow hiker is being eaten alive by the other Tomie. And you're
Jeez. Like, oof. I gotta go.
Yeah. Oh, there was another one where, because one of the murderers, they threw her pieces into the, like a body of water.
Okay. So was she turned into like a fish thing?
No, they all, it was like all the
pieces. Oh, they all floated away. I get it.
So then like, people go into this lake and there's like 100 Tomies in the water trying to drag you down.
What?
And it's like, ooh, no.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And what's funny, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, there is not like a conclusion to this.
Okay.
It's kind of just like I left that like, okay, you just have like this shit ton of Tomies just everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh fuck. Like it's like, is it like an epidemic now of like just, or invasion of just all these Tomies?
That's an interesting concept though, right? How it starts with one and it just becomes many and now this is like a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like overall.
And again, there's no explanation of what she is.
And you can't kill her because if you kill her, she's just gonna make more of them.
Yeah. I mean, no one successfully have killed her. No one's successfully done it.
I feel like you have to like seal her or something or like lock her up.
And then like they also don't come back all the same. Like you see like on the second row near the right image, like the one of the head facing upwards. You see that?
You're talking about the
Visions of Horror.
That one and the third one from the right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where they're like tiny or something.
That we were talking about? Click that.
Yeah, maybe I'm this one, right?
Yeah. So that is a morph of all like a bunch of them together. And because like they don't have to necessarily come back as
what they were previous.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how are they all in the water and not dying?
So. Yeah, like it adapts and becomes a horrible creature.
That's why I said it, does she become a fish creature? Because that's what I just assumed.
Yeah. And there's one of them where I guess this girl is like jealous of her or something. And Tomie somehow implants pieces of her hair into the other girl's scalp, and the hairs are sentient, and it's like constricts her and like tries tying her to things.
What?
Oh, that's crazy. Man, it's crazy. Tomie's amazing. Tomie's a really good one.
That is nuts. How long is it? One of her? One of his longer ones.
Yeah, it's a book. It's a solid book.
I'll have to pick one up at some point. I've always been interested by his art style because like he really handles gore like in a different way.
Yeah, like looking at his artwork,
it's never like, I don't know, I don't want to say never, but like from what I've seen is like it's never like gory.
No.
Does that make sense? Like it's not blood and or organs and like weird stuff. It's just like morphing like different things. Well, that's what I say. Like
he's very good with body horror, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like you have kind of like this image, like it's like two heads kind of connected, and there's like a weird, like you can see like there's like a almost a crusty texture connected.
Yeah, it seems like it's like threading, but it seems organic, or it could be like, I don't know, what's like noodles wrapped up together, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it's very strange, like tendons or something, it must be. I don't know.
And for anyone out there, any of Junji Ito works are a must read, and you should do that.
Especially if you're trying to do like, it's like, I know like one of my friends, he likes to do like kind of like horror-esque, like monsters and things.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Like Junji is like the perfect reference model because he has so many weird designs and like different out there things that'll teach you about like anatomy or like, you know, how to draw certain shadings. And
he knows how to get the like visceral reaction out of you. I'm just like, oh, like damn.
Yeah.
Glycer aside, we don't have that on the list Glycer side is like the worst one because it's just like, it's not bloody, it's just gross. Because like the most famous scene of it is like this guy with like a shit ton of acne over this girl, and he just like squeezes his face and all the pus comes out. Dude. You're like, ugh. It's such a like, ugh, God, ew.
Some people like that. I don't know. You know, like the pimple poppings. And
yeah,
things like,
yeah, but that's too much. Like,
yeah, it's a little.
It's so gross. You're like, okay, Junji, you got it. All right.
It's like, all right. You had to draw that. I don't know how he did it.
Like a mad lad.
It would have grossed me out. Yeah, he is a mad lad for sure.
It's always so funny because like you meet like there's videos of Ito in actual life and like interviews and stuff, and he's the most like chill guy.
Yeah, right.
He's so like, I got my cats and they're a little bit mean sometimes, but you know, I like my cats.
But then he goes into his office and it's like the demon comes out.
And he's like, time to make some fucked up shit.
Yeah, seriously, what's the most fucked up thing I could think of today? Let's see.
Yeah.
He probably goes on 4chan, gets ideas.
Oh no. I've studied Christian this whole time.
Oh, yeah. Sonic Chu doesn't realize the monumental inspiration and that it's had.
Sonic Chu was my inspiration for Tomie.
Oh, imagine. My God. Can you imagine, dude? All
right. You want to do one from your...
Sure. So I guess like I can do... I'll start with Jagan.
Jagan?
Yeah. So Jagan is about this dude who is a cop.
Okay.
Excuse me. And he was getting engaged, or he had a girlfriend, okay?
Okay.
And he's kind of like, I don't know, he's always wanted to be like a superhero, I guess. Like, that was like his goal.
Yeah.
I guess that's why he's a cop in the first place, you know? And one day, he just finds his life kind of just boring, like not fulfilling, right? And one day, he comes home to his girlfriend, and she is all weird looking and like... He goes kind of crazy and like she dies and her head gets cut off and he's like, what the fuck is happening? Right.
That's a lot of events. All right.
Yeah. And then he sees this little bird thing and they're like, oh, she has a frenzied frog, whatever. Right. And that's when you find out that basically this world is about like there's these certain like species of frog or it's an alien of some sort that goes into the humans and that devours them from the inside based off of their desires.
Okay.
So, like, the worst, like, the more you give in to your innate desire, like, say it's just, like, it could be anything. Like, it's just, like, oh, I want to go rob a bank, right?
Yeah.
And they just, they go really hard in that thing, you know? Mm. They become more corrupted.
Okay.
Until they become, like, just this monster that has, like, no mind state anymore.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
So, there's other ones that are called half-frenzied. So, they're slightly different where you can have control. You still base it off of your desires and you still have to live for your desires,
yeah.
but you can still control yourself in the sense that you can turn it off or like turn it on, you know,
okay.
and overall. So it's about this guy named Jagan, basically, who decides that he's going to be a superhero because that's his desire. And he wants to bring back, he's told that he killed his girlfriend and he was really, I can't recall. It's been so long now. I can't tell if she became something and he had to kill her or if he became something, went crazy at first because he didn't know what was happening and killed her. Either way, she died.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
And got decapitated. So he's keeping her head in his fridge or his freezer, rather.
As one does, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's told that if he gets all of them, like all the frogs,
yeah.
he can bring somebody back.
Okay.
So his whole goal right now is I'm going to be a superhero. I'm going to kill all these frogs to bring my girlfriend back. But at the time, once he brings them back, he'll die himself.
Okay.
So he's okay with that because he's like, hey, I fucked up. You know, I did all these things, but at least she could live her life, right?
Yeah.
So it's all about this journey because there's other people who are also half frenzy, but they have other motives.
Yeah.
And it's just like some of the, like, if you look at some of the art, it's very Ito inspired for sure. You can see that a lot of it's very, like, detailed and has, like, this weird, like, goopy...
Yeah, I can see that.
Textures
yeah.
to them. Like the creatures are very like off-putting and
you know
weird.
What's this reminding me of? Reminds me of Gantz.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of Gantz into it as well, for sure. The one thing that I find very twisted about the show is because like there are certain people that use them. These like yeah. Like, this dude has like toxins that like once you get like okay. it goes in your body just starts like getting gangrene or something and just decays. Oof. Yeah. It's freaking crazy. A lot of the people who get these abilities are really fucked up in the head. Like, there's this one dude who can just, like, possess women. He's, like, been obsessed. He's, like, a pervert, weirdo, loser who gets nobody. Yeah. He gets a half-frenzied frog and just goes to town.
Oof.
You know, like, in that kind of stuff. Like, it's very fucked up, very scary. Like, in certain instances, this motherfucker over here, this guy. And it's just, like, one of those things where, like, people are dying all the time and, like, you kind of like have friends and you don't, and you see people like losing themselves to this thing, and it's like you can't really control it. You never know what's gonna happen.
So these frogs thing are a very common occurrence.
Well, there's somebody who's making them.
Okay.
So like they get to this point where there's this dude who's making half frenzies, and he's giving them to people, saying, "I can help you with your true what you want to do. You help me, I help you." Right. Essentially, type thing, right? So he gets all these people who are just like. Either really losers or have nothing, and then like he corrupts them and manipulates them to do these things overall.
Yeah. So which one has Sukuna's finger is the question.
That's yeah, yeah, right. Seriously. And it's just cool to see like kind of the changes in motives and changes of things. Like he's working with this one cop who killed his son when he got became a fractured human.
Yeah, okay.
And there's another dude who can replicate. So he created literally a human being as a copy of his son.
Yeah.
And then he got corrupted and went to work with that guy instead of just, you know, doing his own thing, you know, with the main characters and everything. So it's a really interesting show.
So is this like a Tokyo Ghoul thing where it's like, it's kind of more leaning towards like an action thing, but it's just the events that happen are just so fucked
up? Yeah. Yeah. That's the type of thing. That's why I put this as a maybe on here at first. Cause I'm like, it's horrifying in the sense that the characters themselves are really shitty people.
Okay.
In the sense that they do really shitty things that are horrifying.
Yeah.
And then they also have creatures that are scary looking and that kind of freak you out. And the worse you are, like, look at this. Like, this in general, where is it? I'm trying to find my mouse.
Yeah, well.
You know, like,
what
it's
the
just,
fuck is that?
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like, you know, what is happening? And so you do see some action and things like that, but there's a lot of manipulating. There's a lot of, like, plans. It's different. It has different qualities to it all the way around.
Okay.
For sure. And action's not constant all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's not always like, oh, it's just turned up, you know, in general. So you have to get like big, they do go in depth with each new character that's in like comes about.
Yeah.
You really get to learn about them and get to be around them and enjoy
them. Yeah, because it was sounding like a like Parasite or Jujutsu Kaisen thing of like you get this cursed thing inside you and now like you're able to fight with it.
Yeah, kind of, but it's not an entity like how in Jujutsu, like Sukuna is a real entity that can control itself.
Yeah.
It's not really like that. It's just some type of, the frog's not cognitive in that regard.
Okay.
It's not cognitive. It doesn't talk to you, nothing like that. It's like a virus. Think about it, like a parasite almost.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Almost like a parasite that's inside of you. And if you just like let yourself go, and the thing is like, you don't even know. That's the crazy part. Most people don't know until it happens to them.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like one of the, yeah. So it's, and they don't know if they're half or full. unless they're giving it to them, obviously, and they make the choice to get one, right?
Right.
But for people who are just randomly, because that randomly occurs, where there's just random people who are on the street, they have a bad day and they start screaming, and then they just morph into this monster.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's very random. That's a scary thing. Like, you know, yeah. You know what I mean? Like you're at the movies or something, and some dude doesn't like the way someone's talking or something, and then out of nowhere, they just start murdering the whole theater. That sounds pretty horror-esque, you know, in that regard.
All right, yeah. Because I was wondering, I was like, is it a general public, like everyone knows, or is it?
Yeah, everyone knows about them, but no one knows how they get them and everything of that sort. Yeah. All
right.
Unless it's an act of choice that they make to get one.
Gotcha. But, okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I enjoy it. I think the art's cool. I think the story's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's cool too because I get to binge it because they don't. I feel like the translations don't always come out on time. So once I just wait like 3 months and then I just binge a couple chapters.
Is this still going?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's ongoing still. It hasn't ended yet. So nice. I don't know how it's going to end, but a lot of different developments. Like, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who might be interested in this, but a lot of different developments. It doesn't go the way you think it's going to go a lot of the time. And it just has a lot of twists. Like, there are characters they spend a lot of time on and then you think it's going to have something. Yeah. And then it's just like, whoa, okay, this is different. You know what I mean? So. I definitely enjoy it. I've been reading it for a couple years now, so.
Yeah, I might check this out.
Yeah, the art's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
The art is so good. So, it's definitely really out there, but it's really good.
I mean, you're like talking about the monster designs. Like,
yeah, monster designs are sick in this manga. Yeah, they really are. Like, they're creepy looking and scary, and they're sick.
Like, whatever the squid thing is.
Oh, yeah, this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, what the fuck is that? But then you see stuff like that, too. That's a half-fractured human.
Oh, that's pretty rad.
Right, so they have like different things about them that make them like, you know, a certain way, like and formulate. Like, they all have different abilities too. Like, each fractured human, like one of them can morph into anyone.
All right,
so we had some tech difficulties, so we're back.
Yes, yes,
yeah. So, to finish off where we started, Jagan, cool, check it out.
Yes, spooky frogs.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the scariest thing of them all.
All right. So, next we have on this list is Maruka-chan.
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 Tell me about this one, my man.
This is actually a pretty recent
series. Yeah, you were telling me about this a while ago, like the first volume was coming out or something.
Yeah. Basic gist is you have this high school girl, and one day she wakes up and she realizes she's able to see spirits.
Okay.
And ghosts. And her reaction is nah.
Like most people would be. Yeah.
Her, cause like the spirits in this are very disturbing to look at. Like, if you look at the images, you will probably like see it's just like you have cutesy anime girl and then it's just
yeah. It's like you're not fun looking at all.
Yeah, it's a rough time. Like, yeah.
But do they interact? Can they interact with her at all?
So that's
like, physically?
So here's the thing, right? Her main goal, because she's like, nah. So what she's trying to do is I'm just going to ignore them. And by doing so, hopefully they're going to ignore me. And we're just going to spend our lives just not interacting with each other.
Okay. Yo, this has an anime already?
It's going to come out soon, yeah.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I was like hyped for it. But like, she's going for like her school day and like she's chatting with her friend and there'll just be like a ghost thing underneath her desk. Like, and she's just
dude,
like,
dude, how do you not like,
and she's like, all right, I got to pretend like it's not there and just reach for my bag like normal. And then like, and that's kind of the gist of the series of her going for a life. Just like, okay, how do I not get anyone's attention like that? Like, she's like, there's a ghost like right in front of her, like, and it's like,
yeah, it's like,
all right, I'm just gonna I'm gonna be on my phone.
Yeah, right, like it's they clearly want to get her attention.
Yeah,
they clearly can see her and want her attention. Like, is it like they do this to everyone and she's just the only one that gets, like, do they torment other people but they can't see them?
Yeah, so
okay, so they're just present, she just has the ability to see them.
Yes.
Okay, but they can't interact, right? Okay.
Not clear. And the story has kind of evolved a bit where there are, like, because most of them look malicious and mm-hmm. stuff, but there are some instances where she's able to see spirits that are good.
Okay.
Or at least, like, have good intentions.
Neutral.
Kind like, of. She and her friend find out, like, a stray cat, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, we can't take care of it, so we gotta go find somebody. And this normal-looking dude comes up, and it's like, oh, I'll take care of the cat. And, like, he's kind of cute and stuff. And her friend's like, yeah, well, he looks cool. Like, let's... And then she's... Rika's like, no. Do not give it to him. And, like, she could see there's, like, a spirit of a guy, and there's, like, three cat spirits that are just hissing at this guy and just screaming at him.
Yeah.
And it's clear, like, this guy is not a good
person. He's not a good person.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another guy comes who's, like, a big dude who's, like, tattooed and stuff. And Maruka gives him the cat because he's got five cat ghosts that are, like, spirit, like, friendly spirits. And it's, like, he clearly cares for cats and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, like, these different evolving things of, like, it's not just random ghosts. Like, there is, like...
What's the word for it? A hierarchy? Or
like- a hierarchy, and, like, there's other spirits who kind of are, like, aware of certain things. Like, recently, there's these two, like, shrine ghost things.
Okay.
Who actually kind of, like, saved her from another one. And you're kind of like, well, what's the deal?
Yeah. Know? Like, why?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's evolving. It's, right now there's only three issues that have been translated for English. I have them. They're good. And now, like you said, there's getting an anime adaptation.
Which is crazy because it just came out, didn't it?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I have to imagine it's going to be like a 12 episode thing. Cause
I mean, it must, right? Cause like what?
There content? Is not enough material, I think, for,
Yeah, this came out in 2018.
Yeah, it's recent.
It hasn't been that long. For them to get an anime already, it's pretty wild.
Like I said, there's only three volumes.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It has to be like a 12 episode thing, I think.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, you told me about this a while ago, that this was coming out, like the issues.
Yeah.
And I was interested, you know, at the time when you told me, because you showed me some screenshots and like we're looking at, and it does look kind of... It's kind of creepy, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, those spirits are not nice to look at. Like, yeah, oh.
Especially at the, like, how do you sleep at night knowing that the thing's like watching you? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, it's always my favorite because, like, again, it has to be a circumstance of, like, she is pretending that she can't see them.
Yeah.
So it had to be since, like, there's a big old some fucking thing in, like, a middle of an alleyway. It's like, oh, I just gotta pretend it's not there. Just keep
walking.
Yeah. And like I said, they do try to get her attention and stuff. Sometimes for a good way, like she
is in danger or something.
In danger, or sometimes like she finds like a past relative of some family. Mm. She's walking by and then she's able to give the answer to them. Like,
oh, like how's, like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like they have a specific question or something.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not always malicious, but like
most of the time
it's pretty malicious.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But they fuck with other people too, right?
Yeah, the only thing is no one can see them.
Yeah, but right. but they know that she can.
Yeah.
Well, clearly based off her
reaction.
Well,
no one else knows.
Well, no, but the spirits do.
Well, the spirits don't really know.
They just fuck with her, and it's like, also, I guess.
Then, I think, right? Like, they have an inkling, but they're not entirely sure. And she's just kind of like, nope.
Well, once they find out, it's like, GG, they're going to be all over.
Yeah, I had to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But I'm hooked right now.
Yeah, that's pretty fire, man.
All right.
I want to talk about the Flowers of Evil.
Yeah, what is this?
So, to be fair, I read this a very long time ago. I was in high school, so my memory is foggy. I try to brush up a little bit. But basically, there's this kid, this dude right here, and he meets this girl, right?
Yeah.
And he's not really into her like that or anything, but she is a mad lad. So, like, she basically... It's basically about a story about this girl pushing this dude over the edge.
Pretty much. Okay.
Yeah, like, and not in like the kill yourself type of way, but like, do it. Like, let's do something crazy. Let's do fucking, like, you know, insane shit.
So is, like, she like a stalker? Or?
Not so much. Not really, because, like, it's not that she's a stalker. She kind of she's kind of the there, and she's kind of his friend, but not really, because she makes him do. She basically, like, has no moral compass, and she thinks that nothing matters, right? Okay. So therefore, she also wants him to feel like nothing matters.
Oh, okay.
And that they can just do whatever the fuck they want to do. So, like, they start, like, first she, like, and she blackmails him, too, like, in other instances. Oh. And, like, there's other things involved where, like, if you don't do this, I'll show this, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like, she forces him, kind of, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, she looks like that type.
Like, very, 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 very manipulative.
Yeah.
And, like, she makes him, I think if I recall correctly, like, he had to wear women's underwear, like, in public, and, okay. like... I just remember, like, in the end, when he finally cracked, like, they, like, burned, like, a house down or, like, a store.
Jesus.
Yeah, they went really off the deep end, to the point where, like, there's a time skip part of it through where he has to, like, move. Because he had to move out of the area, and, like, in general, but just because it was, like, so effed up, you know what I mean? And I just remember feeling, like, just this depression when reading it, because, I mean, it's not, I don't know. I didn't stop, I guess, because I was interested. I wanted to see where it went, you know? Yeah. And how bad, like, how far it would go. And I was so committed already, I might as well finish it, you know? I just remember this feeling of, like, just, like, dread every time. Like, I was, like, every time you see the dialogue and, like, you just see the manipulation and you see the corruption.
So it's not, like, overt horror. It's
no,
all psychological.
No, it's all psychological, okay. Which I think is different, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, like, physically, like, nothing about it is, the art's kind of weird, but nothing about it is, like.
That gory.
It's not gory, not at all. But then you see stuff like this.
So there's no, like, supernatural thing, is there?
Not that I remember, no. Not, there's, like, there's a phenomenon, like, this image of, like, this flower thing comes up a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it's mostly symbolic. It's not really an actual entity.
All right.
Yeah. So it's all really, like, you know, and he likes this other girl, and she knows this, and she's fucking up that situation and everything. And it's just, like, basically the minute he meets her, his life goes to shit.
Okay.
You know? But at the same time, it's like this obsession. Because he's like, he can't stop now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, he knows that this is, like, a bad person, or this person's bad for me, but it's like, you're addicted.
Yeah.
You know, to the thrill of what they're doing. And, like, you know, the ideology has been, like, you know, twisted, and now, like, and he starts to enjoy it, you know, which is kind of like.
Like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, almost. Like almost, yeah. Where he starts to become more like her, like, in to fullest extent, where he's, like, feeling weird that he's not doing that stuff. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it starts to become him.
Jeez.
So it's almost like a demon, like, you know, who's, like, possessing you slowly, you know? So it's definitely a very interesting story. It's strange for sure.
All right.
And definitely something that you guys should check out if you're into it.
Yeah, that's.
I know it doesn't sound very appetizing, but it is a very good story though. It's
I think it's
very well written.
It's like compared to the things we've talked about so far, it's like. It's very much more grounded situation where, like, this could happen. This is a much more.
Yeah, like, it's not so much like Jagan where there's, corrupted humans or Junji Ito where people are turning into, you know, lemons and spiral, whatever, spirals and different things. This is definitely more slice of life, but with a dark twist.
Yeah. So in that, I guess kind of in that same vein, I want to kind of like skip a little bit. Zashiki Una or Anna. So I read this a couple days ago because I was like, okay, I need some horror stuff.
Sure.
This is only 11 chapters.
Okay, it's only 11 chapters deep.
Yeah. No, that's it. It's only 11 chapters.
Oh, it's only 11 chapters.
It's short. But those 11 chapters.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Gist is there's a guy, Shiguchi, whatever his name is. He's in his apartment and he's kind of just like chilling.
Yeah.
Oh, Hiroshi. Hiroshi's his name. Sorry.
Way off.
Yeah. I was like, it's some stereotypical boy name. I forgot.
Oh, man.
Hiroshi. And he's just like chilling in his apartment and he's like, you know, whatever. And he's hearing the next door doorbell going off.
Sure.
And it's just going and going and it comes
like just nonstop.
And it's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, answer the door already.
So he's getting annoyed by it.
Yeah. So he goes out and takes a peek and there's this tall woman there in like a coat. Like, and she turns to him and is like, is Yamamoto home in this house? And he's like, no, I don't think so. I think he may be out. And she's like, okay. And she walks away and leaves. And he's like, okay, that was a bit weird.
Strange, yeah.
Yeah. And goes to school, and he's got like a crush on another girl, and he's kind of like trying to work up the courage to talk to her and stuff. Whatever. Comes home, chilling again. Doorbell starts ringing again. And he's like, oh my God, what the hell? And like, it's the same woman again. And it's like, all right, let me just ignore it.
Yeah, like don't interact with this person.
And then his doorbell starts ringing, and it's the woman.
And obviously she knows he's home.
Yeah, it's like, do you know where Yamamoto is? And it's like, no, listen, I don't know. It's like, can I borrow your phone?
No.
And it's like, listen, yeah, sure, fine. Like, just go.
Yeah, my cell phone. Don't come inside. I want you out.
Yeah. So like she calls the house and you hear like the phone ringing, but there's nothing happening in there. Yeah. And she leaves again. Except now, next night, she comes to his house first. Doesn't go to Yamamoto's apartment. Goes to his house.
And starts ringing the doorbell?
Yes.
Dude messed up, man. Dude messed up.
So basically what the story keeps going of this woman is stalking him. And like, she like finds out where his... Well, because she leaves a bag accidentally in his house while making the call.
Oh, so he let her inside. That was the first mistake.
Yeah. So he's like at school while this is or at work or whatever. And it's like, listen, I have the emergency key like on this thing. Just go in and don't touch it. I don't have anything really to steal. Like, I don't care. Just get the bag, leave.
Yeah.
She goes inside, gets her bag, takes the key with her, makes a copy of the key.
Bruh.
And so the next time she just enters the house.
When he's there?
No, when she's not there. So when he comes home, she's just inside.
What the fuck?
Oh my God. And it just keeps getting worse and worse of like...
Call the police, dude.
Like, because his friend, he's telling your friends about this. Like, this lady's fucking creepy. Like, yeah. I don't know what the hell. And like, one of her friends encounters her and it's like, yo, leave Hiroshi alone. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And they actually get into a fight and stuff. And this woman doesn't go down. Like, the guy is like kicking, like drop kicking this bitch.
That's pretty
and
crazy.
She like keeps coming back up.
Jesus.
And you're like, who the fuck is it? And she's like super fast, like running. And the guy who's fighting her like realizes like, I need to go because I can't win this fight. And he's running. And Hiroshi's looking down the street at night and you see him running and then you see her behind him catching up. And you're like, oh my God, like run. It's so freaky. And it just, like, you can see some of the panels.
Yeah,
like,
she's very off.
Go to the first one. Oh, that's that room one you were just on. The one with all the writing and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's Yamamoto's room. Because eventually Hiroshi's like, I gotta figure out why was she obsessed with Yamamoto? And it's like, she's already been there. Yamamoto's gone.
Oh my God. So it was a ploy?
Maybe. Yeah. It's like, and because like one of my friends, like, I think she's been originally after you this whole time. And then the Yamamoto was a ploy. And it's like, and then like the first image you see is like, because she's in the house and she has a knife sort of thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's like obsession. She's like, why don't you love me sort of thing and everything. And like, she's hurt the one he had a crush on and stuff. And he literally jumps out of his own apartment to escape her. And she sets the apartment on fire.
Oh my God.
And like, she doesn't leave. You see her like in the window as the burning thing's burning up. And it's like, maybe she died in the fire. No. So like this scene, where this panel is like, he's in the hospital and
is that a syringe in her hand?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And he's like, I know she's going to be here. I feel it. And like, it's like a cat and mouse game. But you see him like crawling, you see her like walking in like an opposite hallway. You're like,
yeah, yeah.
Run. She gets him.
Oh no.
And you don't know what happens to him.
Oh, dude.
And this is like, I'm like, this is very audition-esque. Of like,
yeah, it does seem a lot like I'm getting flashbacks of the last podcast.
And you don't know what she is either, because at one point they're like, she looks like a classmate who was supposedly committed suicide when we were younger. And like, she has the same face and everything. It's like, maybe it's her. Maybe she's trying to get revenge and stuff. And they go to like where she used to live, but the girl's still there and alive. And it's like, well, that's a problem because I could see the lady down the street.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not her. It's something else. And the fact that like, she's so strong and like so fast, it's like,
there's something off.
There's something off. You don't know what it is though. And you don't really ever find out. And it's,
oof, dude, that's creepy as hell. I don't want to look at that anymore.
Yeah, man.
That is so, yeah, dude.
Like, just,
she is a weirdo. Yeah, that's really, yeah, it's very off-putting, like, the art, too. And oh, that's a creepy
thing. Yeah, her outside, just, like, knocking on the door and stuff.
I would have changed my locks the minute I came home and she was there. I'd be like, nope, I'm staying at a friend's house.
As if that will stop her.
Yeah, but you know, at least then I have another person. Like, oh my goodness, I would move to a different country.
Yeah,
she can't possibly follow you.
I don't know. Like, she is on him the entire time. Like, it's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, I know, he fucked up, huh? Going outside in the first place and even interacting with her, he should have just shut the fuck up.
First mistake.
He should have just shut the fuck up and stayed inside and just did his thing. And when she said I left my bag, I'm like, I'll leave it outside for you. You're not going inside my house, dog.
Yeah.
Can I use your phone? I don't have a phone. Sorry.
It's weird. Well, I mean, because again, it's like, I think there is like some sort of either supernatural phenomenon though to it, because like, other than the initial letting her into the house, Hiroshi does like call the police and stuff.
He does or does not?
He does.
Okay.
And like, but the thing is like, cause he's calling the police as she's like chasing the friend, and then the friend and him reunite and she's just gone. She's disappeared. And you're like, where the fuck is she?
Yeah, where'd she go? Yeah.
So, like, again, you don't know what the fuck her deal is. Like,
yeah, like, what is she, why, all that stuff.
Yeah. I think she, I mean, I assume she's some sort of spirit thing, because, like, that smile is a little too big.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Dude, her jaw, what the hell? It's like, yeah. It's
like, she has a fucking Ryuk smile.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. It's, like, definitely an entity of some sort.
Yeah. So there's that.
Do you want to talk about Frank and Fran?
Oh, yeah, sure. Frank and Fran's an interesting one because it's not necessarily horror. It's kind of horror.
Yeah.
The gist is there's this, I'm hesitant to say girl, kind of a girl. She's kind of like a Frankenstein creation.
Okay.
Hence the name Frank and Fran.
Mm-hmm.
And she was created by this doctor person. And she runs a medical lab, and the doctor has since disappeared and on some sort of mission and left her in charge. And the whole series is her undertaking certain patients and stuff. The only thing is that her definition of what is healthy is a bit
skewed.
Like, her whole thing is, like, maximum efficiency and everything.
Okay, so it doesn't matter how. It's just a matter of...
Like, you can stop looking like a human, but you'll get your problem solved.
Oh, my God.
And it is, like... Some of the situations get super fucked where... Because she's... I don't know if it's, like... She's kind of just a little bit psychopathic in the sense of, like, she doesn't understand, like, some of the things, like... are ruining people's lives horrendously.
Yeah.
And afterwards she's like, well, oh, I didn't really think of that being a problem. Well, maybe it will just solve itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It varies from different stories of like, there was one where, they managed to figure out how to have babies but through eggs. So like people no longer have to be like
pregnant.
They can have like an egg. And it's like, well, that's easier so because you don't have to deal with the whole childbirth complications and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Fran's like, well, because like there's a whole big scientific community comes around it. And this one scientist lady like buys the patent offer. And like Fran's like, well, there's still some things wrong with it. Like you shouldn't just mass produce it. Yeah. But the lady doesn't ignore it because like, oh, money.
Yeah.
But then you find out it's like, one of the benefits of being in a womb versus an egg is that being in an egg comes to host so many problems.
Yeah.
Of like things steal eggs. Natural predators do that.
Yeah.
Natural like parasite things can get into the egg.
Yeah.
And like that was a disturbing of like a baby's hatching and it opens and just bugs start pouring out because a parasite got in. It was like, oh my God. And it's rough and like, the scientist lady gets like destroyed, and Fran's like, well, that's why I didn't tan it. And that's like,
yeah.
And it just, sometimes it's like darkly funny of like some of the situations are just absurd. And then some of the situations you're just like, Fran, what are you doing?
this is an extremely
fucked situation.
I like the art.
The art's fun. It's
I like her eyes. The way they're drawn.
Oh yeah, she's adorable.
Yeah, she has like it's nicely sketched.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It's more of those situations where it's like, oh, I hate to be that person, right? Like this person's like a slug now.
Yeah, I can't remember the scenario. Oh, that one.
Excuse me.
Like that one, I think, because then she like, I don't know if it's transforming to be prettier or something.
Because
then she like does a metamorphosis and she becomes really pretty. The only thing is that metamorphosing into another creature thing. So she's with her boyfriend and you think it's like, oh, came down and through. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
And then next panel, she's become this like praying mantis thing. And if you know about anything about praying mantises, the females have a tendency to eat the males.
Yeah.
So she's just
going to town.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, that's not good.
No. I hate to see that.
Yeah, it's a strange one. But it's a hell of a fun read. Not always scary, sometimes darkly funny.
Yeah.
And like the characters are fun too, because like everyone in that building is fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's just out of their mind.
Yeah, that one was like, oh, they merged a body with a mascot. And it went haywire.
Oh my goodness! What the hell?
Yeah, no one is safe in this manga.
Yeah, clearly
the only one who's safe is Fran.
Yeah, right. Because she's the one who's doing it all.
Because it gets so extreme. Of like, what was one? One was this guy had went crazy, and like he had like a rich father and a whole support system. And they literally made him an isekai on this one island. Like they made him like, oh, he isekai to a fantasy world.
Yeah.
So like they have like a shit ton of actors and shit ton of like props and stuff. And they're literally like making a story around this guy's life.
Oh my goodness. That's...
And like they have to ship in new actors and like sometimes actors get killed and it's like, all right, we got to keep on the man and stuff.
Damn.
And it's like this whole operation. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like what is happening?
And then like Fran sometimes makes some monsters like out of splicing, but you're like,
eesh.
It's funny. Well, it's not funny. It's horrible. Because like sometimes she does work with like a police for autopsies. And there's this one detective lady she works with. And I don't remember the exact story. But she literally starts having a subplot of just this detective lady. Because like, every time she joins Fran, something's like fucked up. And she's like, what?
Yeah, like what's wrong with you? Like what's up with you?
Yeah, and then she gets cloned somehow.
The cop or
Fran? The cop.
Okay.
And like, so different versions of her are doing different things. And then they end up getting killed or whatever. But they're like, all right, we gotta make a new detective. Poof.
Oh my goodness.
And then
dude.
Like there's a whole island of them and stuff, and you're just like, what?
Dude, can you imagine that? Have someone cloning you and that having to be like literally an exact copy of you.
Oh, these stories get crazy. And there's so many different like threads. Like she has another assistant who's like basically a little girl who's like a trained assassin, and she's got a shit ton of knives everywhere. And then like she has a rogue experiment from her old doctor.
Yeah.
That is basically like this axe crazy girl who like can transform into a monster thing and just loves killing. Loves doing just horrible shit all the time.
As it often ends up.
She literally becomes like, I don't know how the circumstances happen, but she somehow ends up as a substitute teacher at a school for some reason.
Wait, which one? The crazy one?
The crazy one.
Nah.
And she's literally teaching the class like wrong things.
It's like murder stuff.
And it's like, yo, you guys want to assault a girl? Here's how you do it.
What
and you're like, what are you doing,
it's
man?
It's like, you're going to get fired.
Yeah. How to get away with murder.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, I don't want to be in this class anymore.
Yeah, this story goes off the rails. I love it.
That's kind of cool, though. It's kind of out there. Very out there and edgy, it seems like.
Yeah, but it's like fun edgy. Like, it's like almost, it's again, it's like slightly comedic in a way.
Yeah, I can see that.
But Frank and Fran, and because it's two series. There's Frank and Fran and Frank and Fran Fanatic. They're both, it's just a continuation.
It's just a sequel.
Yeah, but just as horrible. All right, what do you got here? What is this?
The last one I have would be Jujika no Rokunin. This is fairly new.
Okay.
I think it came out like, what, maybe last year? I think.
Yeah.
So basically it's about this kid who is bullied like immensely.
Okay.
Okay. By these five individuals. Okay. And led by this girl. Okay.
Okay.
This bitch over here.
These
are the five fuckheads.
Okay.
So basically what they do is that they torture him. They kill his animals.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Really fucked up shit.
Okay.
Yeah. And they beat him up, and like anytime that they have an opportunity to fuck with him, they do. And then they make it so bad for him, you know, overall.
Okay.
But it doesn't really go, he doesn't really snap until one day they're waiting for him while he's in the car with his parents and little brother.
Mm.
And they throw something on the road. They basically, one of the main one pushes one of the other kids on the road. Like, so the main one doesn't really give a fuck about the other ones either, clearly, you know? So they push them on the other side of the road so that they're about to get hit by this car.
Yeah.
But in doing so, it makes him and his parents with his brother crash. He is the sole survivor.
Oh.
Except his brother's alive, but he's been comatose.
Okay.
And he's all fucked up.
Yeah.
You right? Like, his body looks weird. He's missing half his hair because he had, like, a big scar.
Yeah.
He's messed up. Right.
Yeah.
So he ends up living with his grandfather and only wants revenge. And his grandfather was apparently like an assassin or with the Yakuza or something.
Okay.
So he teaches him everything that he knows about torture, investigation, fighting, all that jazz. And then he comes back and now they're in middle school or high school, whatever it is there. He's like 16. So let's just say high school. And he now wants to seek revenge on all of them. And now they know that he's back. And there's clearly something up because they start to dwindle in numbers.
Oh, they just start disappearing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And the way he does it. So they're really fucked up to this day. He says that he gives them a chance.
Yeah.
So he's like, if they've changed, I'll leave them alone.
Right.
So at least he gives them that chance.
Right.
They don't change. So you see a lot of fucked up shit. Like a lot. Mm. A lot.
Yeah.
Like, just to give you an analysis on one of them.
All right, sure.
So he captures this one dude who's like a pimp, basically, right?
Mm.
He's been pimping out this girlfriend, and it's been very bad. He's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And he gets caught by our main character.
Right.
And when the guy gets up, he feels like really hot. He's like, why am I so hot? Like, why is this so hot in here, right?
Mm.
And what you realize, it's because he's been skinned.
Oh, I had a feeling it was going to be that way. Oh.
And you just see him get, like, touched by the main character, and he starts freaking out.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, There's another one. He gets stuck to a chair. He's naked. They're always naked.
Yeah, okay.
There's this little tube thing.
Okay.
That when you open it, it opens.
Okay.
And, he has a tinier one as well.
No.
And,
no, I know where this is going.
And, he inserts it into a specific region in the crotch area.
Oh no.
All the men out there, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, and, no.
and he goes,
and you see this, right?
You get the implication.
Okay.
You don't see the insertion, but you definitely see the reaction.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just to give you an example. And there's other things too, but just to give you an example.
Is the series finished or is it still going?
Oh, it's definitely still going.
Okay. So like he hasn't gotten his revenge on the main girl.
No. She's coming up though. I think he's from where I'm at, he's on number 4.
Okay.
I think or 3. He's on 3 or 4, I forget.
Jeez.
But yeah. But like it's interesting too because he ends up like having to go back to school and like seeing people that were in his class that were like some of them apologize for not doing anything. Other people like start to want to talk to him. And then there's this one girl who's supposed to be comedic relief who's like he ran into on the first time and she knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. Because she was one of the victims that he saved, right, essentially. So she knows what he's doing and she keeps it low, but she's kind of like, she kind of likes him at the same time, but he doesn't really know. He's like oblivious. It's one of those things where it's like that kind of like lightheartedness to all the dark, you know? All
right.
So there's that subplot as well, but that really hasn't gone much anywhere because he's not really concerned about that kind of stuff. And there's also the police that are after there's one detective that feels like he is responsible, but there's no true evidence because he burns the bodies afterwards. Like obviously he was taught how to get rid of one.
Yeah.
So like they cut them up, burn them up, get rid of the bones. Yeah. That's pretty much like, you know, that's like every time they get rid of one, that's how it works. So it's like, there's no true evidence, but now he has to be wary because the cops are on his ass. The people who are alive are on his ass now because they're missing their companions in that regard. And it's like he just has to fight them all pretty much and learn how to adapt and keep going.
So this is redo of the hero done right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at least the main character is not some psychotic dude who does really dark stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty much how it is. Like, there's definitely a lot of that going on, too. Some of the redoer of healer stuff, but it's not by this guy. You know, he's stopping that kind of stuff from occurring. But there's other fuckers that are doing similar things for sure. It's just the torture methods. They're very inventive. There's a lot of different things. There's one, I think, that where he gets stretched completely. Like he's on this like thing where it's like stretching him out.
No.
And like it's pretty bad, man. But that's why I find it's horrifying. So it's not like creepy monsters. It's just really fucked up characters again. Psychologically, but then there's also like vivid, like look at that face. Like you can clearly tell that is not from, he's being stretched out, as you can tell. Mm-hmm. And, he's not enjoying it to say the least.
No, I can't imagine he is.
So I'm trying to see if I can find,
I did a thing like this and kind of also, with, the other one. We were just talking about.
Which one?
The one with the creepy lady.
Oh,
I can't remember. Zashiki Ona.
Zashiki Ona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's scenarios where, like, the lady in that one could have been a little bit supernatural, not sure, but the premise of this could happen. Like, a stalker person or. Oh, Jesus.
I'm trying to show it to you. I don't think I'll find it, though.
You're not
continue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, that was a lot bigger than I thought it would be.
Yeah, dude.
That's...
That's the victim of that.
Yeah, I can see that. He looks like he's in immense pain.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's vivid, dude. It's very vivid.
Yeah, fuck my point. That was a. I was gonna say. like they're very grounded in reality in the sense of like it couldn't happen. Like you could have a stalker person, you could have this guy going on revenge and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of is like really creepy. It's like
this is not that far off from what something could happen to you, essentially.
Yeah.
So you feel a little bit different about it.
I mean, things have happened like this, like really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These were all torture devices. Because the thing about the show is like they're all torture devices that have been used before. These are not new inventions that he's created, essentially. So all of these things are from real life history that have been used. So he's using those tools and it's like,
I just want to talk to whoever made that one device. I just like, listen, I get what you're doing, but like, really?
They must have hated the male species or something. I don't think that's what that's used for typically. I think that was like, I don't know.
What else would it be used for?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's like definitely a torch. I think like
it's for expanding fruit when you.
Yeah, it's like a stab thing, but they're just using it in an inventive way, I suppose. Yeah, I know.
Citation
I know.
Needed.
Holds crotch intently. Yeah, like seriously.
That's a rough. I just to get back to the. All his skin got peeled off. Ugh.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't all of it. He wasn't skinned completely. It was just like his whole like chest area.
That's.
Yeah, it was his whole chest. I think his arms and everything. It was his chest down, I think. His arms, I think, were still intact. I don't know about his legs, but it
that
was.
That doesn't help.
It doesn't make it better. I know it doesn't make it better, yeah. But he was, yeah, he got fucked. And that wasn't even the worst. I think he left him there. Or he did something that
he sprinkled salt on him.
Well, yeah, he definitely like touched him with like a lot of things and like punched him in those areas. And it was like, yeah.
That's a rough one.
Yeah, because at first he just touched him. He was like freaking out. But then I think he actually started like hitting him. So it was like a lot different. I think he knocked out from the pain and he left him there. And then when he woke up, he started again.
Oh, man. That's.
I think they'll quote me on that part. I don't remember.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well.
What a podcast. Huh?
Oh man.
So I think that's a good place to end this episode. Once again, we're always appreciative of you guys listening to another episode of the Imposter Syndrome podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry in advance now. Like, I know we were talking about horror, but that's a way to end it.
Yeah, that was a way to end it. So, once again, thank you very much. I'm Jake.
I'm Michael.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.